At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, smart return to the ultra-compact EV segment. Kia's EV5 arrives under 40K, and Honda revises its EV targets. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you how long it took a solar car to cover 3,000 kilometres in the Bridgestone World Solar Challenge Cruiser Class. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is Wednesday, 3rd of September. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story that I can find, over 1,000 sources a day. So you don't have to, so you're fully up to date in one little podcast. Patreon supporters also get the episodes ad-free. Fund this podcast and be part of the EV News Daily community. Welcome to a new Patreon producer. Well, that'll be you, Rob Woods. Rob, thank you so much for signing up. My friend, very kind of you to fund this show and keep me in work. Be like Rob by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with Smart launching a new electric hashtag 2 next year. Mercedes might have killed off the Smart 4-2. But here's the twist. The tiny city car that squeezed into impossible parking spots is getting a new electric makeover. Smart is a joint venture between Mercedes-Benz and Geely. Just confirmed its successor will premiere in late 2026 as the all-electric hashtag 2. The 2 is an ultra-compact segment, a segment vehicle designed by Mercedes-Benz and built in China. It's currently in final design and development under the codename Project 2. So, not exactly a secret code name for that project. Smart Europe CEO Dirk Adelman revealed last year that the 4-2 successor is coming. It'll use a completely new electric compact architecture, targeting 4 or hopefully 5-star Euro NCAP safety rating. With a high level of driver assistance features and good EV range, Smart plans to launch 3 new models total, with one new model hitting European markets every year. The question is, will the new electric number 2 capture the same parking anywhere magic, the imagination, the kind of, at times, the kind of the zeitgeist of small city cars that made the original 4-2 such a legend? Well, we'll wait and see. Now, let's move on to Kia. Opening orders for the EV5, the brand new EV5, just opened for UK orders at 39,295. Now, that is right in the heart of Tesla Model Y, ID4, Nissan Ariya territory. In fact, for some of those, it's considerably cheaper. It's Kia's 5th electric vehicle in the UK, and effectively the electric version of the popular Sportage. I see those everywhere. Kia gives you 3 trim levels that won't break the bank. The base Air model starts at 39,295. If you want more features, the GT line costs 42,595. That adds 19-inch wheels, heated rear seats, electric front seats, vehicle to load. And the top GT line S is 47,095. Adding a sunroof, ventilated front seats, a Harman Kardon audio system, head-up display and fingerprint recognition. Not sure what that's for, what, to get into the vehicle, to start the vehicle, to open up, I don't know, a secret glove box compartment. Sounds very James Bond. Every single model uses the same battery. So the old Kia Genesis Hyundai thing of offering different battery sizes to get a lower entry price. They do that with the EV3. Still my current crush, by the way. But not on this vehicle. So this one doesn't have the small battery option. This is a large family SUV, by the way. So 81.4 kilowatt hours, delivering 329 miles of range. That's more than most people drive in a week, according to the average stats. The front-mounted motor is a decent 214 horsepower, and it charges up to 150 kilowatts, so you're not waiting around forever at charging stations. They're building European EV5s in South Korea, not in China, and that dodges hefty EU tariffs on Chinese-built EVs. Not that we pay them since Brexit. We didn't follow EU down that path. And while they haven't confirmed it yet, there is obviously talk of a dual-motor 300-horsepower version coming later. They always have a GT version, don't they? And so I think it's fair to say there's a GT EV9, which is a big three-row, seven-seater. If they make a GT version of that, then they'll no doubt make a GT version of this at some point. All right, first delivery start this year. Let's compare it to its competition then. Tesla Model Y, it's in terms of size, family occupancy, all that kind of stuff, space, right up against the Model Y. That starts at 45 over here. So they are bringing in $5,000 less on the Kia EV5, like more than £5,000. That's for the rear-wheel drive version, very comparable. The long-range all-wheel drive is 52, and the performance, which was launched last Friday morning, was £62,000 here. The Volkswagen ID.4, that starts at 37 thousand for the Pro trim, 44.5 for the Match Pro with the big battery, and 54,000 for the GTX trim. And finally, the Nissan Ariya was recently cut to £37,000 on the base trim, and that enables all higher trims to also get the new government grant. So very, very competitive pricing there on Kia for the EV5. As I always say, it will 100% come down to the monthly payments and the special offers. And family vehicles like that are not bought by people walking into a showroom, your local Kia showroom, and saying, oh, here's £40,000 in used notes for an EV5. It's always about the monthly finance, and they tend to be pretty good on that after the initial rush. It won't be a cheap car when it first comes out, but if it's not urgent for you, give it a little while. There's still no major deals that I see on the EV3, which is a real shame, because the smaller version of that, the Kia EV3, I really, really like. I've seen so many around now. It's, you know, for a long time I argued the Volkswagen Golf was the perfect car. Not too big, not too small, does everything, gets your family places, but also gets in parking spaces. I think that, for me, that's now the Kia EV3. Charges decently, goes far enough. You can get the small battery, big battery, great pricing. I love it. Okay, EV5 will be a lot bigger though, and deliveries start later in the year. Now, let's talk about Honda delaying its EV focus for 2 years. Honda just cut its 2030 EV target from 30% EV to somewhere below, according to the CEO, Toshihiro Mibe, announcing the automaker will prioritise hybrids over pure BEVs. Not surprising. The strategy shift comes as Honda's only current EV, the Prologue, is doing really well. It's averaging 2,700 units monthly year to date, but July did 6,500. Honda plans 13 hybrid models launching over 4 years from 2027. Two new EVs enter production next year on Honda's in-house platform. A mid-size crossover and the Zero Series sedan. The Zero Series follows the compact crossover. Another one will be late 2026 as the first Honda-badged vehicle from Ohio's EV hub. The Zero Series compact sedan will follow the crossover. Production versions of both the crossover and the sedan debut, we think, next year, getting all the details. We'll wait and see. Now, Tesla's European performance. What do the August numbers tell us so far? Just yesterday or the day before, I get confused at my age, and I don't know what day it was, but I was talking about Tesla's July numbers, now that they're all mopped up and in the books. Well, some countries report sooner than others. Some do daily figures, by the way. So now, on the 3rd of September, we can get to look at Tesla's August performance. And what do the numbers tell us? Well, Tesla just lost 84% of its customers in one Nordic country. But while Elon Musk's company crashes around Europe due to fierce competition and backlash against the CEO, two nations did buck the trend. August data reveals Tesla's European nightmare continues. France saw registration data plummet 47%. The overall car market grew. That's not a good sign. Sweden's collapse was even worse, down 84% despite the car market going up 6%. Denmark down 42%. Netherlands down 50%. All these numbers aren't just double digit. They're huge for Tesla. But here's where it gets interesting. Norway bucked the trend, with Tesla up 21.3% in August. And sales managers in Spain might avoid a tough conversation with the boss, at least for a month, because in Spain, deliveries exploded, 161% up to 1,435 cars in August, up from 549. I don't know the breakdown of that. Could well be the new Model Y effect. And if you're one of those who think that all the talk around the backlash being because of the far-right supporting CEO, and I get that, I get those emails saying, look, you're really over-egging the pudding on this. I mean, they don't use that phrase. It's a very British phrase, but they're saying, you know, you go on too much about how Europeans and British don't like kind of the halo around Elon Musk has definitely worn off now, partly because of politics and all those kind of things. I think people are much less enamored with him, even kind of half followers of technology. He used to be portrayed by the media, the newspapers and stuff like that as, you know, kind of a visionary, genius, tech, Silicon Valley kind of person. And now, when he gets reported, generally not in the EV press, but you know, far and wide, it's a very negative interpretation now over here. Sorry if you don't live in Europe, I'm just telling you how it is if you're a Tesla fan. But, okay, I'll buy that if you think we go overboard a little bit too much on how we're not so keen on the chap anymore. Let's talk about the competition, because you can't avoid that. Chinese rival BYD was one of the Chinese competitors crushing Tesla pretty much everywhere. It jumped 218% in Norway, up 400% in Spain. So although Tesla did pretty well in Spain, year to date, BYD sold over 14,000 cars there. Tesla managed 9,000. I don't know the breakdown of that. And it's a valid argument to say, yeah, but Tesla sell more, you know, high-value vehicles than their Chinese competitors. And although over here you don't get too many of those ultra-cheap Chinese cars. That is also an argument, I guess, if you're looking at things like financial performances and stuff like that. Is it better to sell fewer, more profitable cars? Well, that's an argument for somebody else to have. Now, BYD are having arguments in their kind of investor community around profits. That's a really interesting topic. We'll tackle that in a moment. The Defender Sport EV and the Fiat Grande Panda. Pricing and spec. Stick around. Back in a mo.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
All right, so welcome back to the podcast. If you heard the ads, or if you didn't, because you're on Patreon, thank you for that. But if you listen to the ad-supported free feed and you'd like to fund this show, get closer to the community, and, pay my wages, then you can do that on the Patreon page. Now, China's EV king BYD just shocked investors with their first profit drop in 3 years, falling 30% despite selling more cars than ever. And here's what happened behind the scenes. BYD got caught in China's brutal EV price war. While profits crashed at home, overseas revenue exploded 50% year over year in the first half of this year. BYD also ramping up R&D spending by 50%, betting big on future technology. BYD, a famously vertically integrated company, they literally make everything that they possibly can. The company also started paying suppliers within 60 days instead of, well, nearly year-long delays in some cases. GMT research revealed that this could mean BYD's true debt is higher than previously thought. BYD's solution? Go global. They are prioritizing global markets outside of China, where profit margins are higher, making overseas expansion their key growth driver. Maybe they'll have to lose at home for a bit to win worldwide. Now, let's talk about Land Rover, planning to expand the Defender lineup with a smaller electric model. And now a prototype has been seen during hot weather testing in southern Europe. The vehicle shows an upright profile. If you know what a Defender looks like, whether that is the little kind of three-door or five-door, I like the... Is it two-door, three-door? How would you describe a Defender? Because I would call a three-door vehicle like a hatchback. I'd say it was a three-door and a five-door hatchback. But the Defender obviously has a vertical slab at the back of it. So, you know what I mean, the two-door version. Man, that's a good-looking vehicle. However, it's now been seen testing. The vehicle shows... Well, it looks like a Defender, and that's a really good thing in my mind, because the new electric Range Rover looks exactly the same as every other Range Rover that could be petrol or diesel. It just happens to have batteries, and I am a really big fan of that, as we'll get onto in a minute with Mercedes-Benz. It has a flush rear door handle setup. Vertically aligned handles on the left side of the tailgate indicate the side swinging door has been maintained. There was no
boot-mounted or tailgate spare wheel, but that was obviously this is a testing vehicle. The front end is largely all sealed up, as it's an EV, doesn't need the air coming in that combustion vehicles need, both for cooling and, well, you know, to combust, obviously. The platform is the Electrified Modular Architecture, EMA. 800-volt electric system using electric motors and batteries built in the UK at a new factory in Somerset, owned by Tata, Land Rover's parent company. According to a British magazine, the electric baby Defender will be still called the Defender Sport. More details when we get it. Now, here's a really cool-looking vehicle, the new Fiat Grande Panda, open for orders at 21,035. I mean, why do you put it 35 quid over 21? Can you not put it on sale for 20,995? Fiat, lose 40 quid of profit, and then we get to say it's... Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's under 21, but anyway, it's over 21,000. It's 21,035. Either way, that's really, really cheap. It makes it one of the most affordable EVs you can buy. And not some stripped-down city car either. Here's looking at you, Dacia Spring. This is a proper vehicle, right? 111 horsepower. Okay, 11 seconds 0-62 is not quick, but a big battery. 44 kilowatt hour. They call this a global vehicle. They need the new Fiat Panda to work everywhere, globally. Whether that's EV or not... EV. It's got the integrated charging cable for AC on the little coil spring. So you open up the little flappy flap at the beginning at the grill and it pulls out the cable. It's all attached. And then when you've finished AC charging, it just winds itself back in again to the car. I've seen people over the years say, why don't cars have the cable attached for AC charging? Well, this one does. 200 miles of range, 100 kilowatt DC fast charging, so you can top up reasonably quickly on longer trips if you need to take them. Here's where it gets interesting. The government's new electric car grant gives 1,500 quid off cars like the related Citroën EC3, but Fiat hasn't yet either done the paperwork or got the qualification. So Fiat have done their own £1,500 e-grant, and it matches the government grant. So they are taking it on the chin there until they get the government money and the government catches up. The demand has been unparalleled, say Fiat, with several thousand buyers already registering interest. Dealers are reporting big inquiries. You can see the car at dealers nationwide between tomorrow, the 4th of September, and the 11th of October. Deliveries are in November. So for under £22,000, you're getting a proper electric car, decent range, not bad performance. It undercuts most rivals. And if you've been waiting for a stylish small EV to become affordable, this might be the moment. Look, I love the Dacia Spring, and I really love the Leapmotor T03. They're around £14,000, but stylish they're not. But now, if you can stretch your budget to 20, well, look, you're getting Fiat Grande Panda. Also, a very small car, but really interesting. Design flourishes inside and out. Funky colours, like the whole world has turned grey. My Polestar is Swedish grey, right? You can get the Polestar in many shades of grey. But the Fiat is bright colours inside, great fabrics, little design touches, quirks, stuff that's in on the inside for no particular reason, just because it looks good or is a throwback to the past. The Renault 5 fits the bill as well. If you can get that budget to low 20s and you want a small city car that will do long journeys occasionally, but actually makes you smile when you get inside your car. And shouldn't our cars make us feel good and drive when we drive them? That low 20s bracket is getting really, really competitive now, and I'm absolutely here for it. Now, a car that 16-year-olds can legally drive, at least in France, is about to hit UK roads through Nissan dealers. But don't get excited. It doesn't mean that 16-year-olds can start driving the vehicle on the road here. It's called the Silence S4, and it's an electric microcar that's been selling across Europe for over a year now, and it's coming to Britain early next year. But you will need a driving license to drive this thing. There's also a cargo version. Nissan has partnered with Silence, although they've been selling it in France, so maybe it's the Silence... Maybe. They sell it through dealerships in France, also in Germany and Italy. They're now expanding to the UK to shake up urban transport. The entry-level Unico uses a 5.6 kilowatt-hour battery, 62 miles range, they say. I mean, it's a very lightweight car. Reversing camera as standard, 28 mile an hour top speed. It has to be, so 16-year-olds can drive it on the continent. The L6E Vivo adds a little TFT display inside and two removable batteries for 11.2 kilowatt hours total, 100 miles range, still 28 miles an hour. And The battery features trolley handles and wheels. So if you want, when you've parked your car, you can then wheel the battery out from under the seats and charge it in the office on the boss's electricity, but, you know, under your desk, which I think is brilliant. Battery swap stations let drivers exchange empty packs for new ones via a subscription service. Not sure if that's coming to the UK. Compared to the Citroën Ami, the little Silence or Silence S4 offers more tech, better equipped interior, more practicality, and a big battery as well. This, in terms of how it looks, there's not much you can do with a two-seater car that has no front, no boot. Has got some storage, of course, but the shape of the thing, if you're going to make a very short car that kids can drive, I mean, it doesn't look exactly the same as the Citroën Ami, because that's quite a stylish-looking vehicle, but it's certainly, you know, it's a small two-seater, tiny little short car. There's not much you can do with it. It looks how you'd expect. Now, three battery giants revealed their new power plays in Las Vegas. Let's talk about them. So, first up, LG dropped their first prismatic lithium-ion phosphate battery after years of development and years of making pouch cells for energy storage. Samsung unveiled their new battery box with more energy density than their previous version, using LFP cells for long service life. And SK On is converting part of their Georgia EV battery line to ESS. This is all about energy storage systems. I'll tell you why. The timing isn't random. Mordor Intelligence points out that the US energy storage market will hit $5.09 billion a year by 2030, growing at 7%. US tariffs on Chinese batteries are jumping to 60% next year, up from 40% this year. Companies are positioning for a new market in the US where domestic production of energy storage is going to be critical, really. LG's format shift signals their flexibility in manufacturing. Samsung's dual chemistry approach covers off performance and longevity, and SK On's conversion of the factory shows how companies need to quickly pivot if the market changes. Pivot! Mercedes is going to end EQE production next year. They just called time on two of their electric cars after just 4 years. Ooh, is that embarrassing? Well, I think it's pragmatic, if nothing else. So the EQE sedan, EQE SUV, are getting the axe next year, barely surviving their fourth birthday. The EQE is built in Germany, EQE SUV is made in Alabama, and they just weren't selling well enough to keep them alive. But Mercedes is not leaving you hanging. They're replacing both with something better. The C-Class EQ drops next year, and the GLC EQ debuts at this month's IAA Munich show. Both run on the new 800 volts MBEAM platform. Big upgrade. The new GLC EQ, 570 litres of boot space and 128 litre frunk, beating the EQ's 520 litres. It'll tow 2,500 kilograms as well, unlike the EQE. The C-Class EQ gets premium treatment with air suspension and rear steering. Mercedes isn't abandoning the EQE concept, though. There will be a direct successor, and that'll be the E-Class, because it's back in 2027. And this goes back to what I said a minute ago about car companies making vehicles that don't like what don't look like what their existing customers think a vehicle should look like, or just their personal preference. And, you know, that's okay. And so Mercedes really went down the route of being, you know, the wind tunnel and the CFD dictated the shape of that vehicle, and they were fabulously efficient. But it turns out S-Class and E-Class buyers went, we're not sure about how it looks. And so the new S-Class and E-Class will have that traditional three-box shape, and it'll either have an engine or batteries, and either way. Now, that's not the most efficient way to run a car company, by the way. The most efficient way is to be absolutely single-focused, whether it's a Tesla or a Chinese company that just makes a pure EV platform, maximum efficiency in terms of making the best possible electric vehicle. But that's exactly what Mercedes-Benz did with the EQE EQS. It didn't go down very well. So the new E-Class coming on again, that MBEAM platform. The EQE was updated in its short life. It got the bigger battery to 96 kilowatt hours, a heat pump, more performance. They even added a disconnect for the front motor to be more efficient, but sadly not enough. Now let's talk Hyundai Ioniq 3. Now the Hyundai Ioniq 3 is an interesting vehicle because it's going to give you access to a lot of technology for not as much money as you would have had to pay. CarPlay Ultra is what I'm talking about. Now, we'll see Ioniq 3 at the IAA show in Munich next week, or maybe this weekend on the press days. And this is going to be the cheapest car you can get with CarPlay Ultra. It goes beyond the traditional center screen, expanding all the instrument clusters, the speedos, the climate, and vehicle integration. Apple launched with Aston Martin vehicles exclusively in the US and Canada, but not everyone can afford an Aston Martin. But if your budget's reasonable, you probably can afford a Hyundai, Kia or Genesis, and they're the ones that get CarPlay Ultra next. The system has built-in radio, climate, widgets, bidirectional data flow, connects to your iPhone, all your driving metrics like speed and tire pressure, everything fully integrated into the car. In fact, CarPlay Ultra takes over the car. And Apple control the human interface in terms of what you see and the buttons that you press. Now, many car makers push back against that and say it's a key part of our relationship with our buyers, our customers, our drivers. We don't want to just hand over that crucial part of the relationship to Apple. Others go, well, look, if our customers want it, they can absolutely have it. The Ioniq 3 production starts in 2026, up against, again, that segment, Renault 5, Peugeot E208, Kia EV2, Fiat Grande Panda. Now, GWM just dropped two new hybrid versions of their Haval H6 in Australia. September marks the arrival of a new ultra-hybrid all-wheel drive, but it's not a plug-in, so we don't care. There is, though, a front-wheel drive plug-in hybrid luxe version of the Haval, and it starts at $44,900 drive away, and that's really good. That's in Aussie dollars, obviously, making it Great Wall Motors' most affordable plug-in hybrid, $3,000 Aussie dollars less than the Ultra plug-in hybrid, a serious price cut to bring plug-in technology to Australian families. The plug-in hybrid has a 20 kilowatt hour lithium iron phosphate pack, over 100 k's pure electric range. And finally, meet the Sophie 8X. What is a Sophie 8X? It's a student-built solar car that just won the 2025 Solar Challenge. The student-built car just defeated every engineering team across 3,000 kilometers of brutal Aussie outback. The Sophie 8X didn't just win the challenge, it shattered expectations. It averaged 68.7 kilometers per hour for 44 straight hours across the continent with nothing but sunshine to power it. Here's what makes it possible. The most electric vehicles need massive battery packs weighing hundreds of kilograms. The Sophie 8X battery is 40 kilograms. And that's a massive saving. Lightness is, you know, less than some people take as carry-on, you know, on a cruise or something. The tiny battery pack is 15 kilowatt hours, which is still, you know, decent size in terms of energy storage. And that's what powered the two-seat vehicle over 3,000 kilometers at average highway speeds. The secret lies in efficiency. Typical EVs waste, you know, energy through resistance and heat and things like that. The Sophie 8X used the new silicon carbide semiconductors to cut energy consumption by 30%. Every electron counts when you're racing on sun power alone. But efficiency means nothing without energy collection. 6 square meters of solar cells cover the roof, continuously feeding power to the vehicle while it drives. The 400 watt hour per kilogram lithium pouch cells store the energy in minimal space, minimal weight, and aerodynamics sealed the victory. Computational fluid dynamics, CFD. Putting it into a computer, running the algorithm and saying, make something slippery. Shaped every curve of the carbon fiber body. And it does look like one of these kind of crazy, very low, no exposed wheels solar vehicles. But the class it was in was between 400 and 800 kilograms. The ultimate validation, Hong Kong has approved it for being safe on public roads. It's the first solar racing vehicle legally authorised for street use in the territory. So well done to that team. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.